Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Shay Dixon, recapping LSU's spring game, which was on Saturday in Tiger Stadium. And Shay, it was, first of all, nice to just get back into covering a game and kind of one that was, you know, a defensive showcase for the most part until LSU's offense kind of got going there late. But I think for me, we had some unexpected guys like Jared Small really step up. Jontre Kirkland was one for me as well. But we got a little bit of light on the quarterbacks and what that race looks like, and our first look at the new coordinators in action as well. Overall, it was fun to cover. And I think for me, the defense really, you know, was the storyline of the day.
Yeah, I think that when you look back, first off, they got out of it with no major injuries. Really, the only major injury this spring seemed to be Jarrell Cherry. We know that they held a lot of guys out, Eli Ricks, and then for the spring, a lot of guys, Deion Smith, Ty Davis, only had a few practices. And then we saw Andre Anthony, Ali Gaze, a number of guys not play this weekend. So to an extent, certainly they were cautious, and I think it paid off. But yeah, to get out there, the rain held off. Like I said, no major injuries. You got to work all four of your quarterbacks in. Pretty much everybody on the team got to go out there and get some reps. Simple vanilla day in terms of what they were doing both offensively and defensively. I mean, really only a few looks on defense, and the offense wasn't going to show too much. But I think it was a nice way to end the spring game, or in the spring, I should say, because the one thing you felt the worst about a year ago is defense is the one thing you probably felt the best about after watching the spring game.
Right. And the thing I think that was kind of important, and look, it was one day, Ed Ogeron kind of said it, some of the players kind of said it as well, you know, how you guys can have honestly an up and down, you know, spring with the quarterbacks, you know, one day, one guy shines, one guy, you know, steps up to the next and things like that. But Miles Brennan and Max Johnson appeared to be, I think, the most comfortable in the new offense. They played clean. They didn't turn the ball over. Both of them didn't have turnovers. And I think that's the important thing that they really want to make sure that is happening there. You know, Garrett Nussmeier flashed a little bit. T.J. Finley flashed a little bit from time to time. But I think the big story with the quarterback battle, which is what everybody really wants to talk about for the most part, is that, you know, Max Johnson and Miles Brennan going into the summer probably got to feel good about their status in the race.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think any of the quarterbacks played, you know, remarkably, you know, super, super well. But I thought that Max and Miles, for one day, right, separated themselves. I mean, they played for both teams. Miles was around 12 of 20 for about 116 yards, a touchdown. Max, when he was with the purple team, went 7 for 7 for 120 and two. And then over on the white team, 4 of 10 for 60. So he had the biggest numbers of the day, 180 yards, had one of the better completion percentages. He threw a couple touchdowns, but neither of them turned the ball over. And we saw when Finley was in there, he turned it over once. Didn't have 17, about 10 of 17 passing for about 80 yards, something in that range. Throws a pick for, what team was he on there? The purple team. And then he threw a pick on the white team. So two for him. And then Nussmeier had three picks. But look, he's going to understand how to read a defense. He's going to, you know, at this level, he's going to understand the speed of a defense. And he's going to understand that a lot of, you know, the off-platform type running around stuff, you know, is not necessarily going to always work at this level. If you've got a clean pocket, stay there. But look, he should be in high school right now. So if I'm him out there, I'm out there, and I said this on the board, having fun and slinging it around. It's not a big deal. You're not expected to be the starter right now. You're expected to just keep on growing and bearing yourself in the playbook and in the weight room. And I think the ability to battle against three guys who are all, you know, have college starts and in a quarterback race here has elevated his game even more. So I don't really worry at all about what Garrett Nussmeier did in the spring game. In fact, I thought he sort of showed a few flashes, and probably one of the better throws in the day was him to Jontre Kirkland. So solid game, or I guess all around for the quarterbacks, solid spring, because even Orgeron said after the game, look, we've had days where Miles played the worst, where Max played the worst, where TJ played the best, you know, and sort of fluctuated throughout the spring. I think they leave it, though, feeling like, and Orgeron said this, we're going to now rewind and break down the whole spring and then immediately decide moving forward into the summer and certainly into fall camp. Okay, now we're really splitting the reps between two guys. And I think right now it appears that the starter and the backup is from that Brennan and Max Johnson group.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really kind of stood out to me is and it's just kind of the reality. You look at the yards per play, you look at the chunk plays. They really didn't do a great job of having those explosive plays down the field, like we've seen in the past from the offense, you know, that Ed Orgeron wants to bring in, and they just. It just took them a while to put that together. I mean, we saw some penalties called that brought some plays back. We saw, you know, Miles Brennan's end of the half touchdown and, you know, off the fake spike to Kayshon Boutte. Great catch there by Boutte. But overall, I think they wanted to see probably a little bit more big plays out of the offense. But, you know, it's a spring game. They were going to be vanilla. I think one thing that, you know, kind of stood out to me, and this is going to be a talking point until we get to see the running backs all healthy, but you know, the running game was just fine. You know, I think Ty Davis Price showed some flashes, you know, average 5.1 yards per carry, but outside of that, they really weren't able to do much in the run game overall. And that's a good yards per carry, but I'm interested to see how that goes when they get John Emery back, when they get Kevontre Bradford back and all of those guys. And then the freshman coming in, we'll get to see what this complete offense looks like. At, you know, in fall camp, but I thought defensively, that's one area where we can kind of point to and say, look, they didn't have Eli Ricks. They held some other guys out. It's an area where we're going to be able to see a little bit more of it as we get into, you know, quite honestly, the season. But I thought, you know, for the most part, the defense was the storyline. Some of those younger guys that got to step up, Jared Small was a walk-on. He's been around for a while. Dwight McLaughlin had a huge day. You know, you really were able to see why they're excited, I think, about the younger guys on this defense that are going to be running Durante Jones' scheme for really, I mean, if it works out, the next few years.
Yeah, and I think another thing, well, first off on the running backs, without Emery out there, without Trey Bradford out there, I mean, it was a lot of walk-ons. Demas started on one of the teams. They didn't have Josh Williams, so who's kind of one of their main walk-ons, ended up playing some at the end of last year. So I wouldn't look, you know, I'm not too worried about that. And in fact, I thought that Davis Price looked slimmer. I thought that he showed his second gear on a handful of runs, really. And I know that he's only been practicing for about the past couple of weeks, so that's probably only about 4 or 5 practices, something in that range. He missed a good bit of spring as he was kind of recovering from that injury. I believe it was a hamstring injury. So I thought he looked solid. Overall, though, look, you didn't, as you said, you had a Boutte deep play called back. You had a couple of big plays in the passing game. But in terms of overall explosiveness, it wasn't always there. And we'll talk about that more here in a second. But I think that's probably also a good thing. And look, it's a spring game and the defense knows what the offense is running. Like, I get it. But that was big plays were the defense's kryptonite a year ago. They were giving up everything and busted assignments galore. I was happy to see that. And I know we talked about defense to lead off, but then no busted assignments and sort of just playing with good energy and good communication probably was the highlight of the spring game for me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you look at the MVPs of this game, and this is where we can, you know, if you've been a long time listener to the podcast or if you're a Go 24/7 subscriber, I'll lead off here. And the defensive MVP for me is Dwight McLaughlin. I wasn't overly high on Dwight McLaughlin when he signed with LSU. I thought he was just kind of a late take position of need in the class. And, you know, I particularly wasn't impressed with him as much over the back half of his high school career. I kind of thought he was a tweener, safety, corner. Where does he play? But he's shined in two times now in the Army All-American Bowl when we saw him the day he committed. And then this spring game, he really showed up and he kind of had an up and down play as a true freshman, you know, playing in the SEC. He took his lumps at times. He was also, you know, very much around the ball other times and was there and showed some promise. But he absolutely took advantage of Eli Ricks, you know, being out for the spring. And not to mention, though, I think one player that we had on our list of guys that needed to step up was Ra'Darius Jones. So I'll give him a little bit of credit, you know, had an interception, showed a little bit of what he could do if he puts it all together. But the big storyline, at least in the secondary, was Dwight McLuthern. I mean, he was outstanding, you know, four tackles, one tackle for loss, four pass breakups. I mean, you know, he did, you know, give up the touchdown to Kayshon Boutte at the end of the half, but hey, a lot of defensive backs in the SEC are going to do that. So I'll lead off. Dwight McLuthern had a great day, really helped himself and showed why he's the leader to really play any snaps behind Derek Stingley or Eli Ricks.
We set that up for you on a platter right there, Wild Bill, for all the 100%. People on the board. Look, there you go. You gave him the props that he deserved. And look, well, he's not going to start over Eli Ricks. No one's saying that. But first, you're going to play more than just the two of Eli and Derek all game, Stingley. But you moved Jay Ward away from the position, so to safety. So you needed someone else that was going to really elevate their game there. Clearly, McLuthern's done that. And we saw it a bunch. Look, Stingley may miss a game, you know, gets nicked up and misses a game. Or Ricks does. You may be playing Bama, Auburn for somebody, and McLuthern's starting. So it was awesome to see him have that game. Me defensively, Billy, I'll go Jaquelin Roy. And I would have picked McLuthern too. I thought he had a great day. I thought Jay Ward played well. I thought Jared Small played really well, leading the team in tackles and solo tackles. And I was in on a sack and some other things. And as a walk-on or former walk-on, I'm sure that was a huge day for him. Look, Stingley had a pick. I got to settle back on Jaquelin Roy though, because three sacks and all we heard this spring was about. And we know they have Glenn Logan and Neil Farrell starting at defensive tackle, or at least in that mix. Joseph Evans got ahead of Logan this past weekend, if I'm correct in how I remember, maybe the first snap going. But then we heard about Mason Smith, and we'd heard a ton about Evans. And everyone was wondering, look, is Roy making that jump from year one to year two? And we really saw him come on strong, a lot like McLuthern at the end of last year. I mean, the Florida game, Roy was pretty active. The Ole Miss game he was playing. There was a stretch of a few games where you really saw that kind of top 50 prospect right away as a freshman. And then I thought, I mean, there was times, and look, he was going at a few of these plays against second team, and I get that. But, boy, he was pushing guys around. He looked quick, good hands. You know he's a strong guy. And it just makes me feel even better about this LSU defensive line because they're talented on the edges for sure, but on the interior, you can go three deep with really talented guys. I mean, you're getting down to Jacobian Guillory and Eric Taylor, who got out there and got some run. So I was pleased with Roy's play on the defensive line that missing Gay, missing Anthony, both those guys are starters at DN. They got held out for precautionary reasons. But still, to see them play that well, I thought that that's a great sign. But for me, Roy, going into year two, I'm like, okay, then that's another massive weapon for them.
Yeah, and on the offense, and this is, you know, one I think that it's no surprise if you're picking an MVP for the offense who this is going to be. And Jontre Kirkland had an absolute ridiculous spring game. And you know, with the amount of work he's put in and he's been around a while, he's somebody that, you know, really deserves to have a game like that and to be able to show up the way he did, 16 catches, 209 yards. And two touchdowns, you know, that's pretty strong, I would say. I believe he had the one fumble or whatever. He kind of caught it over the middle on a big play and then fumbled it. But outside of that, I mean, huge day for him. You got to feel good about the way he showed as far as, you know, providing depth behind Kayshon Boutte and this LSU receiving core. But yeah, he's my MVP on the offensive side of the ball. Pretty easy pick, I would say. And really, you know, was a safety blanket, also had some big plays. He really did it all on Saturday. So Jontre Kirkland, the former Lutcher standout, you know, that is that's what, you know, a lot of people wanted to see from him for quite some time.
Yeah, it was good to see as a senior too. Yeah, fifth year senior. him be able to kind of have that moment as you look, playing both ways. No one was checking him in the slot. It was dominant and beyond it. And look, and I'll parlay by saying this, they needed someone like John Trey to step up, and they need that to continue to happen, because I'll circle my offensive MVP as Kayshon Boutte. And one of my points would be that after Boutte, I don't even know who your definite starters are, who they're really going to play more than everybody else. And that might not be decided. In fact, it probably won't be until these talented freshmen get here this summer. We saw Deion Smith look good, and the little bit amount of time he got out there, and he's only practiced twice this spring. So, as the highest ranked guy or one of the highest ranked guys, he's got some major upside, potential early impact guy. But Chris Hilton, Brian Thomas, Jack Besh, Malik Nabers, all these guys are top 150 prospects and will all be here this summer. And you're gone from Jefferson and Marshall and Chase and Sullivan and McMath and all these guys who have sort of dominated the catches over the past couple of years, seasons, few years. Now we're moving forward. And I give the nod to Boutte because he set the SEC record for single game receiving yards in the final game of the season against Ole Miss, going over 300 yards. And he was a five-star. So all of that was like, okay, he looks like a five-star and he's ahead of schedule. On Saturday, he's by far the best skill player that they have on their team, not named Derek Stingley. I mean, he is unbelievable. And nobody, there was plays where he was McGlothern or whoever it was on him, all over him. And he still, or Stingley, and he still was able to make a grab. There was one where Stingley jumped in a pick, and I think from Brennan, jumped the route and went to make the pick, and Boutte just plucked it. Like, and anybody else on the team isn't battling Derek Stingley like that with the quickness and the strength of the hands. So he is no doubt to me their wide receiver one for this year, for next year, until he's a junior. And then we ranked him as a five-star. He keeps going. He's going to be a first-round pick. I mean, he is a absolute baller. And I'm curious after him who can kind of lock in a spot, at least in the rotation, because to me it's a clear-cut number one, and then a lot of I don't mean question marks in a bad way, but a lot of unknowns.
Right. The wide receiver group, I think with John Trey Kirkland's emergence in the spring game, Kayshon Boutte's continued strong play, I mean, they got a little bit of help in the spring game, but like you said, in the summer, they get more on the way. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and kind of maybe who's next that could emerge as a contributor when the summer arrivals come. We're going to do that on the other side of this quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody, Shea Dixon with me. Quick reminder, guys, to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow us on the Go 24/7 podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast at. Shay, you kind of alluded to it. Some wide receivers coming in this summer with this talented recruiting class. That's going to provide some help. I want to start before we get to the guys that can help out of the 2021 class. Who are some of the guys and just kind of overall this spring, one or two that you felt helped themselves the most over the course of these 15 practices?
I think Jay Ward, and I think he helped himself and the team maybe more than anybody did, because safety is and certainly has been a really concern area, because Mo Hampton transferred out, Stevens is, Jacoby's gone to the NFL draft, and then Todd Harris is back. But beyond him, he didn't have a ton of experience, and really only a couple of scholarship players, Cam Lewis and Jordan Tolles. So They moved Jay Ward from corner to safety, and we had heard he looked great. I mean, look, all spring really, but first play of the game, he comes out and breaks up a pass, and he had turned in a really nice game stat wise. So Jay Ward is up there for me, certainly on defense. On offense, I think that I don't want to overlook the spring game, but I thought that Jontre had a good spring game. Maybe, though, it seems that the one person who up their stock the most is Anthony Bradford. And we thought and we saw on Saturday that the offensive line was the five guys who started there last year. But there seems to have been all spring a kind of push from Bradford that had even Ed Orgeron saying, look, it's going to be tough to keep him off the field. And we'll see how this goes through the summer and fall. And I think conditioning is going to be big for this offensive line, certainly for Bradford, a guy who's trying to trim up or slim down to a certain degree. But I think for him, I didn't expect any offensive lineman to get bumped out of the starting group. And if they did, I thought it would be for someone like Cam Wire, who had already been starting at times. But that wasn't the case. It seems like Bradford is a guy who's really elevated himself.
Yeah, I would agree with those guys. I think Joe Evans did a lot for himself this spring. We didn't necessarily see it as much in the spring game from him, but you know, the rave reviews we saw from everyone coming out of spring ball was that Joe Evans really made a move and look. So he's somebody that you've got to watch on that defensive line. I thought B.J. Ojulari helped himself as well. Had two tackles for loss and a quarterback hurry in the spring game. I think on offense, and this is kind of a maybe under the radar one, and I don't think that he's going to win the starting job by any means, but I thought Garrett Nussmeier, despite the interceptions, you know, showed some flashes of what they saw out of him as a recruit. And you've got to feel really good about the quarterback position going forward with him in that room as well. And then, you know, from there, Walker Howard will come in the 2022 class, and they'll just keep riding this group that seems very, very talented and looking like they can certainly take LSU maybe back to Atlanta in the future if all things come together. But let's move over to the 2021 recruits, the guys that can really help the most this summer. I'll lead off and just say, look, I mean, Armani Goodwin, Corey Kiner, I got to believe they're going to have more than enough opportunities to come in and play right away, and as well as any of those wide receiver signees that you mentioned earlier, Shay.
Yeah, when I look forward, Billy, to and think about this, the defense on Saturday didn't have four or five. They didn't have the two DNs in Gay and Anthony. They didn't have Todd Harris at safety. They didn't have Eli Ricks at corner. And then, which brings me to my point, at linebacker, they had Jared Small out there, a walk-on, but playing alongside Damone Clark. Baskerville's not here right now. So you had so many pieces on the defense that you're going to have in the fall, and we'll see what happens with Baskerville this summer. He's not even with the team at the moment. But help is on the way that's already been here, but help is also on the way in terms of these 15 signees who are going to get here. I'm maybe watching a guy like, oh, and you didn't have Bug Strong this past weekend. I'm watching a guy like Mike Jones Jr. because right now, if you're playing pretty much walk-ons in starting spots in the spring game, and I don't know how much Jared Small will really be involved in the rotation in the fall, and maybe he will be, but I don't know if Josh White and Sampa are there yet. And certainly I think if it were one of them, it would be Josh White. But you need help at linebacker. And they've got Greg Penn coming in this summer. But Mike Jones Jr., to me, Billy, and I know it's kind of cheating, he's a transfer, so he's older than every other kid who gets here this summer. But I think in terms of need position and probably overall talent, in terms of how talented they are right now and ready to play this fall, that Mike Jones Jr.'s addition will be as big as anybody. And that's going to really help that linebacker room in terms of building some more depth, in terms of maybe getting a starter out of him. But as I noted, Bug Strong's in that mix. We didn't get to see him Saturday. He was a little banged up. But he's a JUCO guy. He's a little bit older. And we'll see what happens on Baskerville and if he comes back. But that's two to three pieces, Billy, that are huge for the middle of your defense. And the reality that if you didn't have them, you'd be playing Josh White and Sampa and Jared Small right now. So this summer, the arrival of Mike Jones Jr. is huge for me. And I thought linebacker was a must get position in the transfer portal. And for them to get a JUCO guy and a transfer portal guy, I thought was addressing the position well.
Those are great points, but I'm going to point out to you as well on the linebacker front, Josh White, all five of his tackles were solo on Saturday, and he flashed really well. So I was impressed with Josh White. I mean, a second year guy now who you could tell he's taken to the weight room a little bit. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, ask, well, he's 200 pounds coming out of high school. Well, he was also on the 4x100 team for Cy Creek and running track. So he had to stay a little lean there. And now you can see he's really starting to kind of pack it on, just his arms in general. I mean, gosh, he looks so much bigger, still has some speed. So I'm interested to see what strides Josh White can make over the summer. But for the discussion's sake, I think Malik Nabers, Chris Hilton, all those guys in the wide receiver room coming in can step up. Because one thing that stood out to me is, again, kind of that lack of big play in a way from the offense on Saturday. I felt like it was very much kind of, you know, choppy, move the chains type of stuff. And they want more explosiveness. And that means creating separation down the field. And, you know, Chris Hilton can do that. Malik Nabers can do that. Those guys are explosive. I'm interested to see what they'll add to the offense when they get in. And it's a position that Ed Ogeron even said it on Saturday, that freshmen could play early. Sage Ryan, 5-star defensive back, he's going to come in and step up. I think at the wherever they find a spot for him in the secondary, he's going to be able to help right away. And I think you could see him by the end of his freshman season really emerge as a starter if he doesn't really do that right away. I think they could still use some help, you know, at tight end, and Jack Besh could do that. Jalen Sheed has some good size. We'll see how he takes to the weight room. And certainly just from a playing snaps perspective, those guys could help at those spots and spell, you know, Cole Taylor. We'll see if, you know, the saga of Eric Gilbert and where that goes and if he comes back. But, you know, just overall, I think those guys I mentioned are really in position to play a lot and step up right away. I mean, Armani Goodwin and Corey Kiner are the two I'm circling, because we really haven't seen those running backs be able to stay healthy out of that group. And, you know, it's a position where if they could pick up the protections early on, they're both productive enough. I would say, especially in Armani Goodwin's case, verified explosiveness is there to make a play right away for time, you know, even in a backfield that has some veterans in Ty Davis Price and John Emery. So just overall, I thought this spring was honestly probably one of the more interesting ones that we've been around as far as storylines goes. We've got a quarterback competition, which, you know, we saw a kind of a faux competition, in my opinion, when Joe Burrow came in. This is the first time we've really had one that is pretty wide open, that was up and down and interesting, and, you know, two new coordinators. Just overall, this was a spring of change, but I felt it was a good one for LSU. I thought they came out of it better than they went in, which was important. They had some guys step up at different spots: Joe Evans, Jay Ward, Anthony Bradford, John Trey Kirkland, all of those guys. So overall, you know, if I'm LSU, I'm sitting here feeling pretty good leaving the spring. A lot of work to be done. And there's going to be some optimism, of course, coming out of the spring after what we saw from the defense and, you know, what we think the offense could be when the QB1 or QB1 and 2 in the quarterback competition get more reps with those top groups. But, you know, overall, I was really impressed with LSU this spring.
And no injuries, right? And I think more than anything for me, probably, and I think a large part of this is the coaching and five new coaches, on-field coaches specifically, that have a new offense coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and beyond the X's and O's of any of it, I think that there's sort of a togetherness on the team right now. I think that the guys have really got each other's backs, because a lot of them experienced perfection with 15-0 and then the 5-5 season. Others, some of these guys, the freshmen, were just here for 5-5 and don't want that to be any sort of norm going forward. And I thought that everyone brought good energy. So the fact that they looked much different defensively than they did in the season is great. All of this stuff is good. No injuries is huge. But I thought they just looked better as a team. And Ogeron had said it a couple of times last year, with they didn't have spring ball, they didn't have summer. And people would say, oh, well, for reps, how big was that? For this, that, and the other, how big was it? And he would kind of always say it really hurt us in terms of building a team unity and a bond. And we weren't always together, and guys were separated during, you know, the sort of beginning of the pandemic. And now moving forward, or at least into the summer, and you've got a full spring under your belt, this looks more like a team to me than any point last year.
Yeah, that was a big takeaway. Even in like player interviews and things like that, guys had a little bit more just positive energy around themselves. I felt like they were just worn down all year. And, you know, everybody had to deal with it. But you know what? At LSU, I mean, and we can go on another discussion about this, but I mean, gosh, you know, coming off the national championship, losing so many. I mean, did they just – and they were so locked in for that whole year, you know, that 2019 team mentioned, you know, no one's out of the bars, no one's doing this, no one's doing that. Everyone was just locked in on that goal. And then to come off of that, and then, by the way, you have to be even more locked in on, you know, doing your part, so to speak, and just with the pandemic. I mean, they just – I mean, you could just tell they didn't have fun last year. So I'm happy for the guys to, again, kind of build some camaraderie, get back to what, you know, being on a football team and being at LSU should be like. And it just seemed like they had a lot more fun. And, you know, for us, it was kind of a normal spring too. We got to have some fun with it. So, you know, now it's time for the off season. Now it's time for, you know, a little bit more spring practice for high schools, some more camps, and the recruiting dead period to end. And we'll certainly be covering that for you guys on go247.com. If you're listening to this on Monday, it's free VIP day at go247.com. So check it out. Some VIP content on there for you, unlocked. And then we have a little bit of a, let's just say, a really, really good deal for those out there coming on Tuesday to, you know, if you like what you saw, check it out and take advantage of that deal. So with that, for Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. And we will catch you guys next time on the pod.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.